Welcome to the Answers for Elders radio show. Meet the trusted experts who will give you straight answers and will help guide you on the path of later life care. Now, here's your host, founder, caregiver, and CEO, Suzanne Newman.
And welcome back, everyone, to Answers for Elders radio network heard across the USA. And we are visiting with Mr. Stephen Waltar from Legacy Estate Planning in Bellevue, Washington, talking about living trusts. And Steve, welcome back. I'm so glad that we're having this conversation. And if you've missed it, please make sure to go back to the segment before where we identify. This is part two in our four-part series today. So Steve, welcome back. And we're going to talk a little bit more about living trusts.
Sounds good to me.
So Steve, I want to talk, you had touched base about a trustee or that person that kind of oversees the trust. How do you, what happens in a living trust? If you have a trust, do you have control over the things in your trust?
Yeah. So we need to just identify the three parties. The first is the trustor. Sometimes it's a grantor or settlor, but I like trustor. And for a married couple, it's, both husband and wife or something.
Okay.
And then there's the trustee or trustees, could be plural, mm-hmm. and there's beneficiary. Mm-hmm. So those are the three parties. Okay. So the one that can change it, the one that created it, the one whose taxable estate it is, that's the trustor. But the manager is like, do you have control? Well, you can be all three people. That's the cool thing.
Yeah.
So my wife and I can buy, sell, lease, transfer. We can, we have our condo in Sun Valley, Idaho in the trust, and our house, and my business, and all these things like that. So it's the trustees that have the authority, right?
Mm-hmm.
Anything you can do, the trustee can do.
Wow.
And I suppose there are times we scale it back. Maybe we scale it back to make sure that a trustee, especially a successor trustee, can't do as many things as possible. But as long as you're the trustee, why limit yourself?
Okay. So in a trust, obviously you're the trustor, just so I understand a little bit more. The trustor would be, this is what I want, right? It's the unit that creates it. Is there ever an attorney involved in that as a trustor or a family member? I'm just curious.
Well, the role of an attorney is to be the drafter and to guide things.
Okay.
I think we will get into that eventually, because sometimes people know that they're the trustee, but they don't feel comfortable with the children, or they don't have children.
Got it.
Then the issue is, gosh, do they have a trusted friend? And we kind of got to look at, someone needs to understand your assets and they need to be unbiased and what all. So, in the 30 years of doing estate planning, I've been listed as the successor trustee a couple of times, but we prefer not to. It's better to have a professional fiduciary.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I remember with my father's trust, nobody in the family gets along. So he had the bank.
Right. They all hate the bank together.
And so that would be the manager. Is that correct? I'm trying to get this correct. So in a case of a trust, he had a family trust. And then what he had is he had the bank was the manager, because there were six kids, three on each side. Nobody talked to each other.
Yeah. So after the trustor dies, or if they're incapacitated, someone needs to manage it. And it's really nice for it to be people and not have a lot of fees if you're still alive. But upon passing, it's very common to pay a trust company or something. So the trustee is a lot like a personal rep in a will or an executor. It's their job to, value all the items and read the trust and consult with an attorney and know things. And then it might be as simple as distributing, or it might be, managing things carefully for a period of time. They're the fiduciary. Yeah. They're wearing the hat that's the highest duty under the law. They're managing someone else's money.
Yeah. And so the other question as I have is, let's say I'm going out of bounds here probably, but I really want to dive in. What if a married couple is together, and let's say the husband has everything in a trust, husband gets Alzheimer's or dementia. What happens upon the power of attorney? How does that change?
It's interesting you say power of attorney. So powers of attorney are separate documents. Husband and wife may-
They're not part of the trust then.
Right. They're not part of the trust. Right. The powers of attorney are needed to manage assets outside of the trust, like an IRA or something.
Got
like
it.
That. Mm-hmm. But in a joint trust, usually either trustor can bind the whole trust.
Got it. Okay.
Meaning it doesn't matter if husband has Alzheimer's, wife can manage everything as the acting
Perfect.
trustee.
And that may not happen with a will, like when you talked about if the house is in the husband's name, correct?
Right. If there was a choice to sell outside of a trust, it would take a guardianship, or it would take a very strong power of attorney that was already effective immediately and was recorded. And there's hoops to jump
Wow.
through to do that. But it's another circumstance is a single person, they start losing capacity. They either resign or they get Alzheimer's. It's not a married situation, but you can't be the trustee if you have no capacity.
Correct.
So you go through a process to get someone appointed, and then they notify all the institutions, hey, I'm now the acting trustee. And then things are managed still on behalf of the trustor, because until he or she dies, it's all about them.
So this is the beauty of what I'm seeing. There's so many families out there right now that may have one spouse that may be chronically or terminally ill or have, memory issues or heart disease or whatever. And we've got a spouse that is trying to hold everything together. I've heard some horror stories of if they are not financially protected, in that realm, that the wife, I mean, I've heard of a stepmother that had to leave the house because everything was in her husband's name from before they got married. I mean, I've heard these stories. It's like, really?
Well,
I
that
had
goes
no
back to, I
idea.
think it was an earlier podcast or maybe this, that trust force you to take a look at title. And sometimes things are not even. Things are not in both names. And it creating and funding a trust, you can go in with separate property and maintain it. That may be appropriate, but it may be you just messed it up and you want things to be made community. So the trust forces you to take a look at how you have things titled.
That's amazing. And
And it only
also,
works as good as it's funded,
yeah,
right?
and also upon the death, there's no lag time like a probate, correct? It would just automatically transfer over or the
Well,
benefit
nothing's
would.
automatic, right? You have to prove death. You need to get someone appointed, but there's not the forced 4-month wait of a contest period or a creditor claim period or things like that. You don't have to have the forced wait.
Well, that makes sense. So overall, when we're talking about these, obviously a great thing about the trust is not losing control, because in you don't have a trust, in what situations besides what I talk about illness, what it, situations also happen that if you don't have a trust, you could lose control?
I was thinking of the opposite. There's one, the one time you don't want a living trust is if what you're trying to do is qualify for Medicaid, because everything in the trust is your asset. And even the credit shelter boxes in the trust are, they're not subject to creditors, or divorce or taxes, but the state of Washington's a super creditor, so they could go after that. So for those clients, it might be a will with a special safe harbor trust is a better tool. And that's an asset protection strategy. It's not like an incapacity management strategy. So I would say, from an incapacity management strategy, a trust is just a stronger tool than a power of attorney for managing things. It's
So,
stronger.
yeah. So
Powers of attorney
then,
often don't work. And,
yeah,
when a
obviously.
trustee gets in problems with an institution, they just move the money because they're the legal owner, right?
Exactly. So obviously, there's a time when both trustors pass away. What happens after that?
Oh, I was going to get a drawing here and I don't see it, but at least the color drawing. That's okay. So I guess this is where I'm going to talk. I think we're kind of talking about control. So it's very easy to say, hey, when I'm gone, take all this toothpaste that I have, squeeze it out of the tube, and you get it. And so could your creditors or divorcing spouse. But you could also give trusts. So if we
Interesting.
remember the group of three, trustor, trustee, beneficiary, if the trustor is gone and you have trustee and beneficiary, you can have asset protection. So many parents want to give asset protection to their children. What they give in trust. Now, they may say the children can become their own trustees at some point, but it's a great way to take a look at, hey, you're a physician, you could be sued. Do you want things in trust? Yes, I do. You have already been divorced twice. Do you want to have some protection? Well, yes, I do. So there are a lot of ways to set up trust to go for the life of children or
Sure,
even for the life
sure.
of grandchildren to give asset protection, divorce protection,
Yeah.
management protection.
Yeah.
And that's just all in the design. You don't have to do that, but you can
Right.
have a lot of control during your life, upon your death, for your spouse, from estate taxes, and then for the children, grandchildren, et cetera. And you can give to charities, and that's fine as well.
Yeah. You know, when you think about that, it's like obviously when you're trying to think about beneficiaries, how your wishes are honored. I know that there's families that will say, I don't want to give all of my money at once to one person because they'll just blow it.
Right.
There's a way in, within the trust, is there a way to set it up so that they get it in monthly allotments? How does, I mean, is that part of the function of the trust?
Absolutely. I don't think you see the
Okay.
continuum, like outright versus in trust for life, or is it kind of staggered? Can the trust match what they earned, their W-2 income? It's a matter of creativity, you know.
Yeah, right.
I tell people when I give my initial consultations or my reviews, I'm gonna have to ask some nosy attorney questions. I want to know about the kids and grandkids. Is there
Yeah, you're gonna
anything that
have
keeps you
to.
up at night? And when they tell me about their concerns, then we design solutions to help solve that.
That's amazing. And obviously, now, and then that happens through trust management, whoever the trust company may be. Is that correct? And that's, is that something you guys do together, as far as with a setting up a trust, or is that outsourced kind of a program?
We do the design and the drafting and get
Got it.
something signed. But as far as trusteeship, we don't want to be that person, but we
Right.
can be the trust protector.
Got it.
So there are ways to build in a trust certain protections where the beneficiaries can fire the trustee. What if they don't like them? What if it's an
Yeah.
institution? There's built-in ways to do that. But there's also ways to protect it if there's changes of law or changes of circumstances, and maybe the trustee is a beneficiary and they want
Right.
a family house. Well, they can't value it low and pay off their
No.
siblings, less, so they can have the trust protector, resolve conflicts of interest. So that kind of role we're happy to help with. We
Yes.
just don't want to be the trustee.
Exactly.
Not
So
fun.
obviously the first step is giving you guys a call, and I think if you mention this podcast, you guys will do a free consultation. Is that
That's
correct?
correct. You bet.
Fabulous. And so you can reach Stephen Waltar at his website at www.waltar, that's waltar.com, and or his phone number is 425-455-6788. And we'll be right back right after this.
We at Answers for Elders thank you for listening. Did you know that you can discover hundreds of podcasts in our library on senior care? So visit our website and discover our decision guides that will help you also navigate decision making. Find us at answersforelders.com.